Everyone, this is Erin Prather Stafford with the Girls That Create podcast on Word of Mom Radio. This week, I'm chatting with the founder of Word of Mom Radio, Dori DiCarlo. Dori and I first met when I appeared as a guest on Word of Mom Radio back in 2020. A few years later, she invited me to launch and host the Girls That Create show on her platform, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity. A little bit about Dori. A background in theater led her to start Word of Mom Radio on Blog Talk Radio, way back before podcasting was a household term. From the start, Word of Mom's mission has been to encourage, educate, and empower women globally by giving them a platform to share their wisdom and stories. Dori hosts her own show on Word of Mom, which is committed to providing valuable resources to women striving to balance motherhood and entrepreneurship. Welcome to the Girls That Create podcast, Dori DiCarlo.
Thank you, Erin. It's nice to be here on your show.
Yes. You know, we have talked about doing this for a while, and I love the idea of getting to share with our audience the producer of the Girls That Create podcast. So thank you for coming on. And you know, because you listen to my podcast, that I always start with this question. When you were younger, was there a book, a movie, a song, something that was, you know, a piece of art that really spoke to you and made a great impact on your younger self?
For me, the book Go Ask Alice profoundly changed my life. I started doing theater professionally when I was 12, so that was back in 1972. So sex, drugs, and rock and roll was everywhere, period. That book that I read as a teenager profoundly changed how I addressed myself in that culture. And while I loved the rock and roll, I was always one drink Dory, which was great because my friends could have a great time the way they wanted to. I had a great time my own way, drinking club soda and hanging out and having fun. And I really do trace it back to that book, Go Ask Alice. And ironically, my daughter was the same age I was, and she read that book on her own. I had no idea she was going to be reading it, and I saw where she was in the book, and she was getting ready to go to bed, and she came into my room later that night just devastated at the end of that book, the same way I was, and how reading about Alice's journey and the outcome of her story profoundly made a mark on me. And I thank her, too. So it was pretty awesome. That one book, I turned 16 my senior year in high school and 17 in my own apartment, and I never had to worry, even though I was always around people much older than me, that I would ever go down that route. And I trace it back to that book.
And then after high school, though, you went into pursuing theater. Is that correct?
I did. I was pursuing theater during high school. By the time I was 18, I was directing, I was choreographing. Because when I was 12, people thought I was 35. I matured very early. And it's funny because now that I'm in my 60s, people think I'm in my late 40s, early 50s. It worked out great for me.
It pays to be an old soul.
It does.
And so from directing, is that where you discovered your passion for working with people and for connection and realizing that there was something here about bringing people together and building a community?
It's funny. I've always worked with people my whole life, and I just always gravitated towards creative people that thought outside of the box, that didn't think I was this anomaly because I was a young kid who was mature for my age, and they encouraged me to do my best, share creativity, not be afraid to be that person that enjoys being around people. And it's funny because everybody thinks I'm an extrovert, and I'm not. I'm very introverted. I'd rather talk to 50,000 people in an arena than the five people I don't know at a party. So it's an anomaly. It really is, Erin.
That means, though, that you were set up to have a podcast because you started recording back before podcast was mainstream. Can you walk us through how that began? How did Word of Mom come about?
I was actually doing a show with two other women called The Three Wise Girls, and I did a two-part segment on mompreneurs, women like me building their businesses from home while they were raising their families. After I did those first two shows, Linda, one of the other hosts, called me and said, you know, you found a niche, and that's really where your passion is. And I started doing both shows. And then there was something that had happened, and the show was going to take a completely different route than what I was comfortable with. So I wound up leaving, and I decided to start Word of Mom Radio back in March of 2012. And here we are now in our 12th year. We have amazing hosts, you being one of them. And it's been so much fun because back in the day when podcasting, nobody did it. And now everybody has a podcast. But we've been around long enough with Word of Mom Radio that we're syndicated, people know our name, and we're kind of breaking the mold because nobody's doing it the way we're doing it, which is what I am finding out. Most people just do their own podcast as opposed to being under an umbrella of Word of Mom Radio, and then you have your show, you know, Girls That Create. We have Be Our Planet Solution, the Village Vision podcast, Ordinary People, Extraordinary Lives, all these other shows and all of these other hosts that are under our umbrella, and it's building this network that eventually will take it to that place where instead of broadcasting from here, it's time for us to start our own channel. And as you're nodding, and it's true, and it's amazing because I never set out to do this. I was just trying to give women like us a voice, that were building their businesses from home, listening to their families going, when are you going to quit this and get a real job? So it's been an interesting journey, and I love it. And through the years, I have had the opportunity to connect with so many people. You were a guest on our show several times with Girls That Create, and then decided it was time to do a podcast and wound up with us and podcasting. It's fun, and I remember one of the women in the early years, she was taking a road trip. She said, you know, I haven't had a chance to catch up, so I downloaded 6 episodes on my MP3 player. That's how long ago this was, right, to listen on the ride. And my jaw dropped. That never occurred to me that somebody would actually download episodes to listen to afterwards. And I've always kind of been amazed how this has gained its momentum, and it's just so much fun to watch it evolve. And so many of the women that have hosted with us, still host with us, they've never done a podcast before. And I'm glad that we've offered a safe space for people to hone their craft and share their voice. So I'm so thrilled that you're a part of it. And it's exciting to get to share on your show because it is all about being creative and not being afraid to think out of the box. The box for me is a dot. That's the truth.
What are 3 things you wish you had known when you started podcasting? Back in the day, it was on the air, but then became podcasting.
You know, the 3 things I wish I had known, period, in any kind of business that I was doing is that I am the last person in the world that you want running a business. I'm not a business person. I play one on TV. So I wish I had known earlier to get the right people in place. One of the other things, and it's something that I fortunately learned fairly early, but wish I had known way back when, technology is great when it works. We broadcasted live, and it was always fun to broadcast live, but you are at the mercy of a windstorm, a blackout, and everything else. So I wish I had known earlier to pre-record. So that's the second thing. And the third thing is, honestly, that it turns out I'm actually good at this. And it never occurred to me that I was. More and more people, I was working with our webmaster, Linda, and I was recording at her house, and she came out and she had tears in her eyes. I said, what's the matter? She said, what you just said to that person you were interviewing was absolutely beautiful, and it really made me cry, and you're really good at this. And I think as women, we have a hard time saying, wow, good job. It never occurred to me that this would ever be a money-making venture. I just, again, wanted to give women a voice. Way back when, I wish I had known that this could actually be a business.
I was going to say, it's interesting that you bring that up. It's something I try to be mindful as I've gotten older. When someone tells me I did a good job, just to simply say, thank you. Thank you for the feedback. I appreciate that. Yeah, I worked really hard, because it's been shown that women have a tendency to say, oh, it wasn't anything. Oh, you know, I had so much help. And even when that's true, and you're pumping your team up, great. But we have a tendency to say that even if it's not true, because we have trouble standing out and shining, even though really sometimes it goes, nope, that was all her.
It's true. And the reality is men don't. Men don't have that problem. Guys will take credit for stuff they never even had a finger on. But somebody thought that they did it? Absolutely. Wasn't that great? And then afterwards, they're asking somebody else, what did he think I did? That's one of the differences. Let's face it, we are out there encouraging and empowering and educating our listeners. And one of the most important things that we have to learn is it is okay to say, well done to yourself. Good job.
We're going to take a short break to hear from our sponsors.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude. Did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
She is brave. She is bold. She is you. And we want to tell your story. Are you ready to share your journey with us on Word of Mom Radio? Go to wordofmomradio.com and register as a guest. We want to tell your story, because when you win, we all win.
In 2017, Unsilenced Voices was formed to help survivors of domestic abuse and gender-based violence worldwide. The organization currently serves Sierra Leone, Rwanda, Ghana, and the USA. In 2022, Unsilenced Voices gifted over $33,000 to survivors in the USA. And in Sierra Leone, there are over 26 young girls who have been rescued from sex trafficking and domestic abuse, and now going through vocational training school in order to better their lives. We need your help. Donations are critical in order for us to continue our work. We also need volunteers to help with research and development. Please visit unsilencedvoices.org for more information.
And we're back with the Girls That Create podcast on Word of Mom Radio. My guest today is the founder of Word of Mom Radio, Dori DiCarlo. What do you think sets a successful podcast apart from others? Because now podcasting has, you know, gone very mainstream, and there's a lot of them.
Well, I think what has made a good podcast, my sparkling personality is only going to get us so far. It really is testament to the amazing women that we have met along this journey. Again, you are hosting a show under us because you were a guest and came back again and then realized this was something you wanted to do. And that I tell everybody that's with us, you can do this on your own. You can do this with us. It's up to you, because it's your choice. One of the places where we are gleaning guests and things is a great thing called PodMatch. It's a great place if you are looking to be a guest on a show, a great place to register. You and I were talking about bringing you in. They are now looking at their back end, because we are the only show that under our umbrella hosts other podcasts in one feed. We're the only one that has ever done that or is doing that right now that they know of. So I love that I think is what is making us successful, is that we're constantly breaking the mold. And I guess other people don't do this because as women, we fall into the, I don't want to help you. You might steal my boyfriend. What if they like your show more than they like mine and everything else? And that's not the way it should be. We should be encouraging each other, empowering each other, and growing our networks with each other, not in spite of each other.
100% agree. Actually, that's one of my mottos, is that there's enough pie for everyone.
Yes, there is. The universe, let's face it, never says, okay, that's it. We've hit the podcast load. No. And sharing other people's podcasts, sharing women that have their own shows and things like that, it's important because people are going to want to listen to lots of things. It doesn't mean that they're not going to want to listen to you. If anything, to me, when you are the person that's constantly bringing out and shining other people's light, it makes people want to listen to what you're doing because you're not afraid to learn from someone else and to share their expertise. If I knew it all, I wouldn't need to be here.
Well, if I knew it all and you knew it all, we'd be doing something else right now.
Well, yeah, there you go. That's true. You know? On the flip side,
all the world problems.
Let's face it, you want to solve the world's problems, sit a bunch of women down and we'll help you figure it out.
There you go.
Because we're not in the flexing our muscle, I'm the biggest. We, as women, you know, moms that are out there re-entering the workforce and things after years of being home, oh, I don't have many skills. Are you kidding? You know how marketable your skills are? Conflict resolution, scheduling, budgeting, time management, all of the things that as moms we have to do. And let's face it, even as working mothers, when you are in that co-parenting relationship and stuff, it's amazing how mom and dad can both be working full-time jobs. And for the most part, mom is still the one when she gets home, all the responsibilities. I was listening to something the other day, and they actually said how it's such a shame, you know, men don't do this, men don't do that. I had just been at my son's house, and while his wife was making the dinner for all of us, he was getting the laundry done and bringing it in and folding it and putting it away while she got that done. And I'm thinking, we have to stop thinking that men don't do things. But as moms, it's also our responsibility. If your son doesn't know how to do laundry, it's because you didn't teach him how to do it when he was young enough to want to learn. Because trying to teach a teenager, an 17-year-old, how to do something that you've done for them their whole life, they don't want to learn. But you know, when they're five, oh, you've been so good, mommy's going to let you help me do the laundry. You help create men that are partners as opposed to, well, that's mom's job. That's women's work. It's amazing that in 2024, that statement still happens.
Oh, yeah. And I think, too, as women, you know, when you're in a household, we also have to let go of any guilt we feel for asking for help. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to say, you know what? I just physically and mentally cannot do all of this. I need you to help me with some of this.
It's true. It's funny. A long time ago, probably a good 11 years ago, I introduced this woman, Dr. Barnsley Brown, about the five things mompreneur needs. This lovely, genteel Southern woman, beautiful accent. And she said, well, the first thing you need to do is learn how to tap your inner bitch. And I said, oh, this is not going to be the conversation I thought it was going to be. And it was great. And one of the things she said, when you are working from home and you have that home office, you need to set those ground rules. She said, I used to put a little thing on my door, and when that door was shut, unless your right hand was in your left hand because you severed it, don't knock on my door while mommy's working. We also fall into, oh, they're going to do it the wrong way. And we as women need to remember it's our way and other ways. Not our way and the wrong way, because guess what, ladies? When you set it up and it's my way or you're wrong, guess who winds up doing it all? You. As opposed to how are your kids, how are people going to learn how to do it? Let them make the mistakes and don't fix it. When your kid's learning how to make the bed, don't go in and smooth the covers back down. They'll learn how to do it themselves, because if you do that, guess what you've taught them? You don't do it as well as mommy does. That's another getting out of our own way and letting people succeed and fail. It's all part of life.
Absolutely. And you brought up a past guest. Are there any other stories you remember or any other guests that really stood out to you in your journey? Or are there just too many to even count?
We've had so many remarkable guests. I have to tell you, and it amazes me, the people who have come to us throughout the years. Sarah Mann and Billy Ray Cyrus did a cover of Tears from Heaven for the Polycystic Kidney Foundation and launched it on Word of Mom Radio a week before it went to Spotify, and they launched it, blew me away. Shaquille O'Neal's mom came to our show. She was doing this event. And then a woman on our show one time sharing her product, and 3 days later she called me up and said, I can't believe it, the buyer from Bed Bath & Beyond heard the show, and I'm meeting with them. So there have been so many stories, so many people that through the years I've gotten to share joy, sorrow, amazing books. I actually just had a guy on our show. The show will be airing May 1st or 2nd, who wrote a book called Branding Queens. Oh my gosh, read this book. And it's 20 women. It began with Vive Clouqot. That is Widow Clouqot, the champagne with the yellow label. She was the first person to start branding. She branded her cork in 1810. Napoleon. She was in France back in 1810. She was doing 750,000 bottles a year. And this book is 20 women branding queens, cosmetic, food, appliances, all of these things. And it was so interesting because written by a man, not mansplaining how it all happened, but in awe of what these women accomplished. And it's a phenomenal read to find out the women out there who have paved the way for the women. I'm in my 60s. I've been part of that journey. And so it's amazing, as we live in a world where women are doing so many things and then we're watching our rights being stripped from us on the other side, and, you know, not to go political on it, but as women, we have to keep lifting other women up. It is so important. And that's the other reason I love what you do, because again, on the creative side, we have to let our daughters find those passions that they are drawn to and realize as the parents, you know, they could make money doing this. People think, oh, creative, that's it. My kid's going to be living on the street. No, they can actually be really successful with this. So we have to just keep encouraging each other. And it's okay to make mistakes. Mistakes mean you're moving.
That actually leads into my next question. How do you see the role of podcasting in influencing social change? I know we kind of just talked about the idea of sharing, but do you see also there's just being part of this movement and why it's so essential for women to keep pushing themselves into the space?
Oh, absolutely. We have so much to share, and there are so many ways to be out there. With a podcast, you are branding yourself an expert in whatever your field is. You don't have to have a 2-hour show, an hour show. You can do, as a coach, a 10 or 15 minute coach tip of the week podcast. There are so many ways out there that podcasting, there's so many ways to have your voice heard. And people want good content to be able to learn from, to feel encouraged with, and to feel like I could do this. And we don't often give each other that space to feel like we can do this. We shouldn't be setting ourselves apart. It's not something, and again, as we said before, the universe, there can be as many out there as you want, because everybody's going to find their lane.
What advice do you have for aspiring mompreneurs, as we like to call them, who want to start those businesses, want to make a change, thinking about making a podcast? You've listened to so many extraordinary stories and advice and thoughts about this whole process. What do you think? If someone came to you and said, what should I do? What would you share with them?
Get started. That's what I would share with you. Get started. You're going to make mistakes. That's okay. It's not you win or you lose. You win or you learn. And as you go on, just
do it. You're never going to have all your ducks in a row. You're never going to have everything in place. You know what the perfect time is? Right now. That's the perfect time. Scribble out some kind of a business plan for yourself, just some kind of a little map. You don't have to go into the analysis and stuff like that unless you're trying to find funding. But just a small little roadmap for yourself of what you would like to see, what you would like to do. Again, when I started Word of Mom Radio, it never occurred to me that we would create this network. It never occurred to me that we would start broadcasting and be a global show and all of these other things that have gone on naturally. And again, it's because of the amazing women that we have come across who want to tell their story. And we're always ready to listen.
Wonderful advice. Dori DiCarlo, thank you for being with us today on Girls That Create.
Absolutely my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me, Erin. I appreciate it.
To all of you tuning in, thank you for joining us on the Girls That Create podcast on Word of Mom Radio. Make sure to check out all the shows on the platform. Do you know of someone who would be a great guest on the Girls That Create podcast? Send me your recommendations by the link in the show notes. Here's our closing theme song by Smith Sisters and the Sunday Drivers. Till next time, this is Erin Prather Stafford.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.